Welcome to the Smarticle Podcast, where we take a good article and make it gooder.
Brandon's a little testy today, everybody. We definitely need 5 seconds silence, brought to you by the Smarticle Podcast. Today's topic is great because Brandon literally just said, Larry, you could use some empathy. So here's the headline. What happened to empathy? Have we become inured to human suffering? The great Jokitel Gonzalez?
Yeah. Woka Moka Moka.
From the Atlantic.
About an 8 on the Moka scale.
Yeah, I feel like I just got woke just reading this. I became a woker person.
I genuinely liked it, but there were elements to it that felt very squishy to me.
Oh, okay.
But it doesn't mean that some people can't gain something from learning about a little bit of empathy. We'll talk about that, Larry, because we did start. You have this way of like, I fear for your children and your wife. You lash out, and then you're like, oh, the best part is you'll make a mistake. Then you realize you made a mistake. You go, oh, that was me. Never mind. Let's go on. You're like, no, bro. An apology is what needs to happen. An apology. Like part of empathy.
I don't know about that. I do not feel the need to apologize
ever,
for you not
ever,
sending the right link.
Ever.
Not, I do feel
ever,
the need to.
Ever. You've never apologized. Not one time. Ever.
Okay. Well.
Just saying. That's
all
part
right.
of empathy is understanding how other people feel.
I feel like we're going to get into this today. Here's a smidge.
It.
This is a, try not to read the whole thing, but it took 1 million American lives and 7 million lives worldwide COVID. Unlike 9/11, most everyone personally knows someone who has suffered a COVID loss, and there's been no real attempt at a moment of national mourning. We not only didn't grieve, we seem to resent missing even a beat of our attempt to get back to normal. We can blame the government or capitalism or any number of things, but it's hard not to see this as a reflective of social shift, a collective reduction in empathy. Empathy is cultivated through interactions with people we don't know. We have, over the past 2 decades, slowly and then quickly optimized other people out of our lives. One app at a time, we've greatly reduced our need to casually engage with anyone we don't know. And we have accepted this erasure without ever asking whether it's a good thing, without ever examining not just how the jobs lost by humans or algorithms might affect the economy, but how those lost interactions might affect our humanity. Here's the last part. Despite how divided we are politically and how abhorrent I find some of the views espoused in this nation, I don't believe that America has a people problem. We have a lack of people problem. We have manicured out of our lives and our feeds and our day-to-day existence the need for any and all interactions with anyone who has not been handpicked by us, who is not of the same class, race, or political position. Well, I will say you're still in my life, and you're Brandon, you're still in my class and political position, so at least I have you.
I don't know if you do anymore. I really don't. This is, by the way, a very, very Larry-esque article. It hit all your tropes, all of them, that we need people, that we don't have enough people, that we're too connected into our devices, all the things. I mean, it's a good observation of the American psyche. Now, I don't disagree with, I think it's a man that wrote this article because it's kind of a funky first name, but I shouldn't say funky. Who knows? Maybe in
yeah.
Where he comes
oh,
from.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, but it wasn't Ted or Sally. Let's just put it that way. So I thought that the thing that struck me right away is he talked about the emptiness of San Francisco. And I was waiting for him to talk about the reason for it, but he never really does. He just sort of leaves it up to your imagination as to why San Francisco's empty. First off, have you found San Francisco to be empty like that?
No.
That's what I thought. Last time I was there, I was like,
no.
It almost felt like it was somebody pointing out things that may or may not be 100% true. I'm not saying it's all wrong. I agree with it. I think that there is a lack of empathy in this country. But it felt a little bit like he was pandering to me.
Well, I do think the key central point of what he's trying to make is that we've got algorithms for everything, and there are less and less people in our lives. By the way, in the old days, Brandon, maybe you don't remember this, there used to be a milkman that would deliver milk to your door.
Right.
There used to be the mail boy, or the paper boy. There used to be all these human interactions, and we've now gotten rid of all of those. So I get this point. We're getting used to not being around people.
I don't think it's about not being around people. I actually think it's about consumerism. And bear with me when I say that, because that's one of my tropes.
You're going to land this thing?
Well, we constantly want more. You've talked about this a lot. People people want bigger houses. They want bigger cars. They want, and they're not willing. Someone says, hey, listen, the oceans are at the hottest they've ever been in recorded since we were able to record this. The oceans are the hottest. We clearly have some sort of environmental effect going on. And one of the reasons for that is automobiles. And we're the biggest consumer of automobiles. But you tell Americans to give up their big trucks and their automobiles for anything, and they're like, screw you, I do what I want. And I think that's part of this. It's like,
not all Americans.
Not all, some of Americans. Course, not all Americans, but we, a lot of Americans. And my point is that in order to have community, in order to be involved with people, we have to be willing to give up things. We can't just simply say, I'm entitled to whatever I want, whenever I want, because sometimes we have to share. Sometimes we're going to have to let somebody walk in front of us as opposed to we walk in front of them. Does that make sense, or am I getting a little too esoteric?
I'm just wondering where that ties in with empathy.
Well, because empathy means we know how it feels to be in somebody else's shoes. We say, wow, that mom of three is having a rough time, or that dad's really struggling, or that friend of mine is, as opposed to saying, I want everything I want and screw you, that's the way it is.
Well, I thought that the empathy, that's where I thought this article was going to go. But this article is saying we don't have empathy because we're just not around people. It's a very simple premise. We're eliminating people, therefore we can't relate to people.
I disagree with that. I think I think what we've gone is we've become tribal. You know, people still need people.
Well, that's true.
Right, but people still want their friends around. It's not like, and again, maybe this person who lives in New York City and is a progressive elite, maybe they're in a situation where all their world is very digital and they don't hang out with anybody. There was a classic, I don't know where I read it, but it was this Japanese trait of Japanese kids that would never leave their apartment. They lived in Tokyo or these big cities and they never, I mean never, they had all their food delivered to them. They stayed in their rooms and they lived their lives entirely online. And let's talk about the psychological effect of that on Japanese society. Obviously, they don't get married. Obviously, they're not part of a greater society if they're just ordering their food and living as shut-ins. So that was part of the whole thing. I was like, is he reflecting on those people that live that shut-in life to whatever degree that is? Because I know you're very social. I'm very social. I have lots of social friends. I don't see what they're saying, but I do see the lack of empathy. I do see people being ruder to each other. I do see obviously we look at our political landscape. It's just angry. Everybody's angry all the time. We don't have discourse. We don't have discussion. We just yell at each other.
One of the key shocking things that I've learned on the Smarticle podcast, it was about like relationships or something, is that every day you need to talk to somebody you don't know. I never thought of that. Never. You need to talk and have an interaction with someone you don't know to be a full human being.
Yeah.
That's exactly what this article is talking about. We've outsourced. You don't run into, like, it's easy to kind of BS with someone you know.
Well,
but to have an interaction with someone you don't know requires you to have some social graces, to understand some norms, to ask a question, look someone in the eyes. That's what we're missing.
Yeah, I'm just parsing this out a little bit, but I think about, it's not just meeting somebody new and having these one-off consumer, you know, hey, how are you?
It is. Never,
I know it is. No, I'm saying it's not just about that. It's also about knowing people or having people in your life that are not exactly like you. Right. So I take time to get to know my grocer that's on the corner that might be a first generation immigrant, or I might say hello to my bus driver. I might, you know, it's about being connected to people that you're not necessarily. So like if I see my bus driver every single day, I might want to, like, if I get on the bus and on the same thing and I see the same bus driver, hey, how's it going, Fred or Sue, whatever your name is. Hope you're having a great day today. And take a, not just cursorily, but take a little bit of time to get to know those people. That creates empathy. You don't know what that person's dealing with on a regular basis, right?
So why is that, Brandon? Because here's the deal. All the gay haters that I know, evangelical Christians, don't know any gay people. Brandon, guess what also, too? All the gay evangelicals that are against abortion don't know anybody that ever had an abortion. So all they don't know the story. They have no.
Well, they know them. They just don't admit that they
have no personal connection to these stories of these people and just think they're going to hell. So that this part of empathy is getting to know someone you don't know.
Yeah, no, I like I said, I'm not disagreeing with you. I completely agree with you. I just think it's both and. I think it's both. I think it's all of the above. It's that it's taking time to get to know. If you've never had a gay friend, then how are you going to even try to act like you understand what being gay in America is like? If you've never understood what a woman's had to go to make a decision to have an abortion, Because this is what they look at. Gay people, evil. All they do is have sex. Women that have abortions are just horrible harlots, and they deserve what they get. I'm like, what? I mean, again, that goes to that consumerism. So I want what I want. I want my life to look a certain way. I've had friends that have lived in sort of suburban environments, and I find suburban environments, one of the reasons why I don't like them, is it's really, really easy to just get cookie cutter in your life. Everybody's the same. It's all great. We all drive to the Chick-fil-A on the weekends. We all, you know, we go to the mall.
Not on Sundays.
Right. We go to the mall. We do whatever you know, and it all looks pretty. We don't ever go and see anything that doesn't look pretty. And when we do see something, if we were to see something, we remove it as quickly as possible so we're not reminded that everybody in the world's not perfect like we are.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's just wrap it up this way. Do you think you're an empathetic person, Brandon?
I actually think I am an empathetic person. I try really, really hard to be empathetic. And you know what's really funny? I knew that your reaction would be that. I knew it. I knew it. I've worked with you long enough. We've been talking, Maple and I have been talking a lot, my daughter, about empathy, because she, as a second grader, she sometimes just lacks empathy. And I'm like, we talk about it constantly on the way to work, school. Say, hey, you know, try to understand that other person is struggling. I mean, I have to use incredible empathy in working with you sometimes. I truly do. I really do. Because you are a person, Pat Olson could call in and admit this. You do not show weakness. It is really challenging for you to say, hey,
vulnerable. I got
to
be more vulnerable.
You are never
Brandon.
Vulnerable, ever. I mean, yeah. I have been over my skis for the last 3 weeks. I have never been more stressed probably in my life than in the last 3 weeks. And what I keep saying to myself is, hey, if you're going to do something, you need to do it with the right spirit. Otherwise, don't do it. I've been volunteering too much, and I'm resenting it, and I'm having a really hard time, and I'm working really hard on this show and all sorts of other things, and I'm resenting, you know, pushback and this, that, and the other thing, and all the different things that I got to deal with. And I just keep reminding myself, hey, you just got to do the best you can and hope that others are going to forgive you for being human. I literally had that thought in my head today dealing with this really challenging person. I'm like, I'm just going to have, I knew they were mad at me. There was nothing I could do about it. I was like, I just hope they could find empathy for me somewhere in their life.
Are you adding up the points that everybody's mostly mad at you? So maybe it's not all the rest of us, it's you.
Yes. I could have predicted that, so it's good. Larry, I want to thank you for modeling for us what real empathy looks like today on this show.